Hi. My Lord and I are in majority. It's my mantra. My name is Amene Golsefid. As you all might know me by now, I was only a nominal Muslim because of being born into a Muslim family in Iran. Without having a chance or choice to select being Muslim or not. As you might be aware, based on the religion that I was born in. I was not allowed to change my religion, regardless of that fact that I could never trust Islam being a godly religion because it was designed against women's rights, and therefore, I could not believe it being the words of God, who I believe must be a fair creator. Therefore, not believing Islam and not having the opportunities to know about the other religions. I was living in limbo for a long time, but was always keen to know about the truth and the real God who has created us. And the real God who has created us and about his roles and expectation from us. But in Iran, nobody is allowed to learn about any religion. Though I knew a little bit about Christian faith until I came to Australia and my brother Cameron talked about Christianity faith with me and told me about the Presbyterian Church where I learned about Christian faith and being accepted as a member of the family. In fact, when he found me not having or trust in Islam and being confused about the way to salvation, he felt responsible to share Christianity faith with me by putting me in contact with church members, who I cannot thank enough for accepting me and helping me learn about Christianity and being shared in the name of our Lord Jesus. Today, I wish to declare that although I had renounced Islam from a long time ago, after visiting your church and feeling so touched by the immense energy that I have received in your church, I still had many questions. Janet Reed was very helpful. She was so patient on me and gave me a lot of books and answered me how a man could be a God and a lot more. Until I've learned in here that no man can be God, but it was our God who came to the earth in the man's flesh so we could see him, learn from him, and eventually he sacrificed himself for us. So we know how much our Heavenly Father loves us. Now I know him very well and feel the presence of his Holy Spirit working in my life. And I do trust in the words of our Lord that no one would go our Heavenly Father except through Jesus. Therefore, today I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life leading it. I wish to be baptized here in respect to the command of our Lord and sign a new covenant with him to live the rest of my life in his holy name and following his words in the Bible. Today, I also wish to thank for witnessing me surrounding my life to Jesus Christ and wish to be used for passing on his good news to those who are still looking for God. In the name of Jesus and for putting your Holy Spirit in my heart to lead my life towards you from now and forever. Amen.
I thought it would be, and Cameron, we thought it would be good for Janet to come and pray for Ami. Janet has invested a lot in this, and I'm going to ask you as our church family if you would stand and pray with this prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise and give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for Ami and for the courageous decision she is making today to follow you. It is not easy for one who comes from a country where Christians are persecuted when they follow Jesus. We ask that you will continue to bless her and her family. May Ami always feel your presence and know that whatever happens, you will be beside her and guide her. I thank you too for Ami's friendship and that having her stay with me has brought me closer to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray that Ami's church family will continue to support her and pray for her as she continues to grow in faith. We pray that you will guide her in the future and lead her to the work that you desire her to do. As she is baptized today, may your Holy Spirit fill her with faith, hope, joy, and love. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you'd all just take a seat. So it's our practice as a church to pray together. And so I'm going to invite you now. We're just going to spend a few minutes just praying. So if you want to turn to just the person next to you or move your chairs into smaller groups, if you would just like to pray together. A few things that you could be praying for, though. For our church family here, many of you know Fran. Fran's just come back from a holiday, or not a working trip, to Thailand, but she's come back very unwell. So if you can be praying for Fran. Many of you have been asking after Rob. He saw the endocrinologist this week, and so he'll be having radiation therapy in January. So that's where that's up to. He's doing well. But one other thing that I would ask you to also be praying for is many of you know Baha. Can you stand up for me, Baha? Okay. So Baha has been here with us for about 7 weeks now, six, 7 weeks. And Baha has his interview, immigration interview, on Tuesday at noon. So Baha would love you to be praying for him as he goes into that interview. Okay, a lot of you have been through this same interview process, you know what to expect. So it would be lovely as his church family if we could be upholding him in our prayers this morning, but also on Tuesday, through the rest of the day on Tuesday. And if you get an opportunity, you might want to pray with him even this morning at morning tea, or just give him some encouragement as you do that. So I just want to encourage you to just turn to a few people around you to just pray, and then I'll close that off in a few moments. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to give you thanks that we can pray, that we can be completely confident that you hear our prayers, that you see us and you know us and you love us, and that you understand the longings of our heart. We lift up to you the prayers that we've made out loud, but also just the prayers that are in our own minds, those things that we haven't said, but you know. And we give you those prayers, Lord. And we seek and ask you to answer those prayers in a way that will bring you honour and glory. Lord, we just lift up to you Fran as she's so unwell, and just pray for her and for Ray as he cares for her. And we pray for healing for her, and just complete and full healing and a return of her strength. We pray for Rob as he prepares for the radiation treatment, and we pray that that will be completely successful, and that he'll be able to move on from that, and that he'll be fully healthy after that. And we also just pray for Baha as he has his interview on Tuesday at noon. Lord, we ask you to give him a real confidence, a calmness and a peace as he goes into that interview. We pray for him as he prepares for that, and ask you to just put into his mind the knowledge that he needs for that interview, and a real clarity as questions are asked of him to be able to know what answer he needs to be able to give. We pray that he can go into that interview confident that he goes in there in your name, with you present with him, and that you are watching over him. Help us as his church family to be praying for him and upholding him in that way. And Lord, we thank you for Ami and these steps that she is taking this morning. And we thank you for every person that's been involved in her journey over, Lord, I believe, a long period of time and in more recent days. We ask you to bless them, and we thank you for them, and we pray that you will watch over her and protect her in these coming days, and that you will help her to grow in her faith and to put down strong, deep roots into you. Lord, we just thank you for who you are and for who you have allowed us to be. We thank you for the relationship that we enjoy with you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to ask Ami to come out the front. For those of you who aren't familiar with baptism, can I just say, baptism isn't something that saves you. Being baptized isn't something that will gain you a relationship with God or gain you a place in heaven. Baptism is for people who have already made a choice, who've already made a decision to be followers of Jesus Christ. And so when they are baptized, they are giving a public sign. Today it's a public sign to us. This is Ami saying, as she goes under the water, in the same way that Christ died, Ami goes under the water and is saying that she has died to her old life, to her life without Jesus. As she comes up out of the water, it's a symbol of Christ's resurrection. It's Ami coming up out of the water, leaving her old life behind and beginning a new life with Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. So it doesn't save her, it's very symbolic, but it's a very powerful public statement, a very visual way of saying, I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. So we're going to hop into the water now. Now, Ami has asked if people can refrain from taking photos. There's a couple of people that are going to be taking them that Ami's aware of, but for others, just for protection, she's asked that others would refrain from doing that. If you would like to come up the front, please do. It's always good to come up so that you can see. So if you want to come up the front and get out of your seat, please feel free to come up. We're going to get in the water now. So just except for those people who have been asked to take a video or photos, if everyone else could not do that, please, as a way of protecting Ami. So, if you could not take photos unless you've been asked to, or videos. Thank you. Then now in the name of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I now baptize you.
Hello?
our Bible reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. And it reads thus: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the world of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood the God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, and our dear fellow servant, who is faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light.
I think we may have a new drummer, budding drummer in the years to come. Thanks, Paula. What a wonderful wonderful morning it's been so far. For those of you that may not know me, my name's Cameron. I serve with this church. I happen to be the treasurer and other things, but I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not a minister in an ordained sense. So like Nathan last week, and I like the way he introduced himself as well, I'm just an ordinary guy. And I'm a follower of Jesus, and it's my privilege this morning to share a little bit of what I've been thinking about on the topic of discipleship. But honestly, after what we've seen this morning in Army's beautiful testimony and the lovely picture of her baptism, why do we need a message? I think we've seen something so rich and powerful this morning, a life that has been transformed, and we have been privileged to journey with her and to see this wonderful thing that she's done this morning, and to welcome a new sister into the family of God. So today I'll be wrapping up a series that we've been doing over the past 5 weeks on what life looks like as the gathered people of God. And so far, over the past 4 weeks, we've had four different speakers who have each explored a recurring theme from the Bible. Themes that describe what our life should look like as God's gathered people here today in this church in 2019. As God's assembled people, and when you look around, I guarantee you'll find someone that's not from your culture. We are very multicultural, and this is rather unique, but it's also what the Bible describes in Revelation of a family of believers from every nation and culture and country coming together and worshiping God. That's a heavenly vision that we have, that I think we're seeing glimpses of in this church. But as the assembled people here in this place, in West Ryde, we're a family. And what do families do? What do families do?
Love each other.
They love each other. What else do they do? They care for each other. They journey together. They do things together. And they stick together. And that's exactly the kind of family that we should be. A family who are committed to serving God and serving each other. Over the past few weeks, we've been reminded of the importance of meeting together. And we've learnt four things so far of what life should look like together. Week one, Karen brought us a message around a people who are praying together. Prayer is important. It is absolutely vital, in fact, that it has purpose, power, and priority in our life. Week two, Kelly brought us a message around the mission of the church and for us being a faithful presence. In week three, Chris took us on a journey of what care looks like in our ability to love and care and support one another as a family. And then last week, Nathan brought us a really interesting message around worship and singing and music and how that forms a rich aspect of what we do when we come together. And so today I'll be covering discipleship. What it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus, and why it's so important for us, both individually but as a family, this church. But before I get into it, why don't I pray? Dear Lord God, I thank you that already we've had a beautiful, beautiful message in Army's baptism this morning, and I feel humbled to be here, as we all do, to witness such a miraculous story of change and transformation, and a brave woman who has only been in this country for a few months. and has now decided to follow you. We pray for her this morning and in the weeks and months ahead. But I pray, as I explain this morning a little bit about discipleship, that we hear from you, that God, you would be speaking to each and every person here this morning, that they would not listen to my words, but yours. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So firstly, what is discipleship? What does it mean to be a disciple? Throw it out there if you've got a good answer. We're informal at this church.
A learner.
A learner, good. Anything else that comes to mind? Say it again. Christ imitator, love it. Anyone else?
A copycat?
Yay. I like those kind of answers. I would be concerned, though, if your answer was just getting people over the line, getting them to follow Jesus, baptize them, and that's where it ended. That would be a little bit short of the mark, I think. Yeah. See, discipleship is not a destination or something that we kind of get to a point when someone decides to follow Jesus. No, that's really just the beginning. So here's a definition that might be helpful. That's just one that I've come up with, and I'm sure there's many others. Discipleship is a lifelong journey of learning and growing as we are transformed or changed to become more and more like Jesus. I kind of brought a few things together in coming up with that definition, but I suppose what I see in our passage this morning from Colossians really crystallized that for me. See, in the context of this letter, Paul was writing to an early church in Colossae, which is modern-day Turkey. And Paul, was under house arrest himself in Rome. So he's writing effectively from a house where he was arrested. And he was writing the letter to oppose some bad teaching in this church that was causing problems in the church. But that's a topic for another day. But what is most important about this letter is the way he begins. You see, it's his introduction that gives us the biggest clues as to what discipleship looks like. It's his introduction in chapter 1, where he begins, like in many of his letters, by thanking God for the church, for this church in Colossae. And then he goes and writes this beautiful prayer for the church to grow in complete knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Paul's words were relevant back then, but I would argue they are just as relevant for all churches today. It's almost, when I read this, as if he was addressing the people in our church. Let's take a closer look, and I'm going to be focusing on verses 6 through to 10. And I want you also to imagine, if you are a recent person who has come to faith, like Army, like a few others in this church recently, put yourself into the story as we read together. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. See, the amazing thing of good news is it is hard to contain. Good news is contagious. And so Paul's excited, and we should be excited in the same way that good news is having a ripple effect. When you drop a stone into the middle of a pond of water, you know what happens. You get these little ripples that radiate. I get a sense that that's beginning to happen in this church. That's why when I read this, I think of all of the wonderful things that have been happening over the last little while. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. So you could drop in any name there in the context of what's been happening in this church. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given to you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you will live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And I chose that translation of this passage. It's the New Living Translation, because I think it really summarizes it nicely. Verse 10, which is the very last one there, particularly describes what a disciple or follower of Jesus looks like. And to me, this is the heart of biblical discipleship. So there are three parts. Let's have a look at the first one. Knowing God and his will for your life. So if we go back to the prayer in verse 10, we can see in the very last verse there, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. So in asking God for spiritual wisdom and understanding, we will then be able to live in a way that honors and pleases God. So knowing God and his will for your life is the first aspect as Christians in terms of the beginning of discipleship. Unless we know God, understand his word, are grounded in his word, then the rest is no point. We have to begin with God. And I would suggest to you, and this has been my experience and many others, that if we are found in the center of God's will, there is no safer place. If we are found in the center of God's will, by listening to God, understanding who he is, and therefore asking him to tell us the plan that he has for each of us, if we discover what that is, there is no safer place to be. There is no safer place for you, Army, right now. You are in the center of God's will. The second point that comes out of this passage, and I don't like necessarily to use rhyming words, but it just happens to work, going and sowing into the lives of others. In other words, producing fruit, producing things that come as a result of honoring God and intentionally going and investing in the lives of other people. So this means showing others who God is and what it means to follow Jesus. We are called to shine like stars before others. And Jesus talks of us being salt and light in the world. People who are distinctive and cause people to question and become curious. See, we reveal Jesus not so much by what we say, but by what we do and our willingness to walk alongside and journey with others. That's our best witness. Not having all of the answers, not having, you know, perfect Bible knowledge, by willing to walk alongside others, share with them what God has done for you and how he has a plan for all people. It doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. What I love about this going and sowing is that you don't have to wait until you've reached, you know, this level of maturity. You can start from the moment that you are convinced in your heart that Jesus is worth following. And in fact, Army has brought a number of friends with her this morning. She's already sowing, going and sowing into the lives of other people. And there are others, as I look around this morning, who are already doing that too, who are recent believers or followers of Jesus. He's not interested in perfection. God is just interested in what's going on in our heart and our desire to be faithful, to go and to sow into the lives of others. The third area, again, it's another rhyming word, sorry, growing. Growing as we learn to know God better. And this is a commitment for everyone to being people who seek to increase our knowledge and our understanding of God, and then sharing that with others. As we grow in the Word, as we grow from each other, this discipleship gathers momentum. It also gives us needed direction in our life. Examples of growing together: our connect groups. Some meet in the cafe, some meet at church, some meet in people's homes. Whether you are participating or leading a group, but then they take other forms, like mentoring. Imagine mentoring someone that's new to faith, someone that's maybe younger than yourself, and just the wisdom that you could impart to that person. That's discipleship. Investing in the lives of others. But discipleship is not only with others, it's also a self-directed activity. Reading your Bible. Enrolling in a course of study, perhaps. I've got a list of ideas in a little while, but just let that sit with you. Growing is not just what you think it can be. Growing in terms of discipleship happens as we serve, as we fulfill our duty on a roster. So whether we're making morning tea, whether we are cleaning, whether we are doing the gardening, whatever our role, we can serve knowing that we are being used by God, and we can bring discipleship into that. So in every part of what we do is a discipleship opportunity. Go back to our definition. Discipleship is a lifelong journey of learning and growing as we are transformed to become more and more like Jesus. It's not a destination. We can never say that we have arrived. It happens from the cradle to the grave. All right, so I'm going to ask a question, and this is really just to test if everyone's listening. Therefore, what is the goal of discipleship? What is the goal of discipleship? There is a clue. It's actually written on the screen. So shout it out if you know it, if you can see it. What is the goal of discipleship? Yep. And in the definition, the last few words are a really, really big clue. Yeah. That's it. The goal of discipleship is to become more and more like Jesus. And there's a really cool passage that encaptures that. Again, from an alternative translation, the New Living Translation. But I would be delighted if we could all read this together. So will you join with me? So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So we see and get what discipleship is all about. It's a lifelong journey of growth as we become more and more like Jesus. Now, what could that look like? I've got a few ideas that I'm just going to flash up and work through quickly, but this is by no means an exhaustive list. It's just what I could come up with. and also what would fit on the slide. Firstly, this I think we can all do. Commit to reading the Bible for 20 minutes every day. I'm sure we can all find 20 minutes in our day. What a great start. Spend time reading or praying, and praying, not or, and praying with your partner and your children. One thing that I like to do during the week, Monday to Friday, is I have time with each of my kids. It's only 5 minutes, and 5 minutes times four, yeah, that's 20 minutes. I sit with them, we read a devotion or a Bible passage, and then we pray, and it's pretty simple. Ask my kids if they think it's good or if they hate it, they'll tell you the truth. That's a really good example of discipleship. This one I think we can all do as well. We all like a cup of tea or coffee. I don't know too many, maybe apart from Joyce, he doesn't drink tea or coffee. Grab a coffee with someone. Ideally someone maybe that you don't know so well, with the intentional purpose of meeting for mutual encouragement and accountability. Invite a new or not yet believer into your home. Hospitality is a beautiful way of beginning a journey of discipleship, of creating a relationship and an opportunity for conversation. Don't just grab your cup of tea and talk about the weather after church. Have an intentional conversation over morning tea. Well, that was always going to be there. It's an obvious one. Be part of a small group, whether that's at the cafe, at the church, at someone's house, or if there's none of those suit because of whatever's going on in your life, maybe you'd like to lead one or start something. And again, there's no formula. They take many shapes and forms. Connect groups. Mentoring is a form of a connect group. Just meeting someone every fortnight just to catch up and ask them how their journey is going. How are their quiet times? Being intentional, and as well as taking the interest in that person, you're helping their growth and they will help you. Mentor a young person or someone new to faith. I think this is really, really valuable. Particularly this year, we have so many new people. So many people that have made faith decisions for the first time. This is a good one. We covered prayer a few weeks ago. Karen told us the importance of prayer as the assembled people of God. If we're not praying, we labour in vain. Make a point of coming to the monthly prayer meeting on a Thursday. It's the first Thursday of the month, just out the back here. There's one that meets on a Wednesday morning. If you're an early bird and you can come here on a Wednesday morning, we meet at 7 o'clock. If none of those suit, start a new one. Anyway, like I said, it's not an exhaustive list, but one that's not here that I'm just thinking of now is making church on Sunday a priority. Make your attendance the most important thing. Yeah, people have to work, there's other things that come up, but where possible, let's commit to being here together as God's people. There's tremendous encouragement and discipleship that goes on just by being here on a Sunday. So if I was to summarize, where can discipleship happen? Anywhere, everywhere, that last point. Discipleship everywhere. The last point that is a real serious one is let's never consider discipleship to be an optional extra. Let's treat it as a vital element for every person, in every church, in every season. Discipleship changes lives. We've seen that this morning from Army. We've seen that all year. I think, Army, you are the sixth person to be baptized this year. Now, that to me is the biggest and strongest argument that discipleship changes lives. Discipleship is important as we become more and more like Jesus. And if we're not doing it, we have to ask the question, why not? Are we really followers of Jesus? Or are we just spectators in the grandstand just looking on? Discipleship is all in. We're all players on the field. It matters. It's really important. So I encourage you, whatever form it takes, get doing it. Let's all do it. It is important. And I think all the more as we see all the good things that God is doing in this church right now. I'm going to finish with two quotes again that encapture the need and importance of discipleship. Paul wrote a letter to a church in Ephesus, and he said this. He urges them to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Live a life worthy of the calling we have received. We have received good news. We have received new life as believers. Our life is never going to be the same again. And we've got something that is so important and so valuable. And we didn't do anything to deserve it. Far from it. We didn't deserve it. And because of that, our response must surely be to live a life that is different as we go out from our time together on Sundays. Live a life that is worthy of the calling we have received. And then he goes on later in verse 15 to say, grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's what we're called to do, all of us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we are so encouraged by the witness of Army for the beautiful symbol of baptism. But how appropriate this is as evidence that discipleship changes lives. And Army's journey began many, many, many years ago. And yet we have had the privilege to see this last few months as she's connected with this church and with Janet and with many other people. And this is not because we're clever, not because of any goodness on our part. You called her to yourself, and your Holy Spirit is the one that has been moving in her life. And we pray in the same way that we would be obedient to honour and serve you as your followers, to take seriously the call to make disciples and to see discipleship as something that we should all be committed to doing, giving and receiving, so that we will grow to become more and more like you. That's the goal, that's the aim. And I pray this morning that people will hear your Spirit speaking to them. And if people are not in a group, if they're not doing any kind of discipleship, if they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying, Lord, that you will speak to them today. Let's all take upon ourselves the call to be disciples who go and make disciples. We pray in this way and for your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Cameron. We'll be closing our gathering after the next song, but as we do that, I'll pray for the offering. Now, we don't take up an actual offering in the church because mostly it's supported by the regular attenders and it's usually paid EFT. So, but there is a box up the back if people want to give a gift or an offering in the support of this church. That's very appreciated. And if you have any suggestions or prayer points also, there's some material up there you can write on to be able to put in the box as well. So let me just pray for the offering now. Father God, we just thank and praise you for your great blessing upon us, and we thank and praise you for allowing us to be able to enjoy life here in Australia. And we just pray that as we give back to you a portion of what we have been blessed with, that you will help us to use it wisely for the extension of your kingdom here and for the use of the community around us. And we just thank you for that. And we pray, God, that you'll just continue to help to support us in that way, that we are generous in our giving, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a final song, The Power of Your Love. Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagles, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.